Welcome to the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast, a podcast exclusively for members of the Quilt Fiction Story Guild. I'm Frances O'Rourke Dow, and we're reading my work-in-progress friendship album, 1934. Thank you for joining us, and as always, thank you for being part of the Quilt Fiction community. Now, on to the story. Friendship Album, 1934. Forget Me Not. Chapter 1. Eula Baker had a grandchild on the way, and that meant she had work to do. To begin with, there was the matter of a layette, the bibs and receiving blankets, the Gertrude slips, the baby bags and kimonos. Her friends Dorothy, Bess, and Emmeline had happily offered to ransack their attics for these items and more, which was all well and good, but sooner or later her daughter-in-law Elise was going to have to master sewing skills, and what better time than now? The girl was fairly adept with an embroidery needle, and in the 2 months since she'd joined the Wednesday Quilting Bee, her stitches had become smaller and straighter. But Eula shuddered to think what her daughter-in-law would do with a pattern and a pair of sewing shears. "Be glad you're learning to cook and sew now," she called to her niece Maisie, who was in the kitchen finishing up the lunch dishes. "It's a shame that nobody taught Elise when she was a girl." "But she got to spend her days outside in her daddy's orchard," Maisie pointed out, coming to the doorway, dish towel in hand. "Growing apples is a skill, to my way of seeing things." Eula looked up from the quilt she was basting on the dining room table. "I don't disagree, but the fact is, Elise isn't a girl working in the orchard anymore. She's got a baby on the way and a house to keep."
"She needs a housekeeper, is what she needs.
Look at Miss Florence. She's got someone to do all of her cooking, cleaning, and mending. In the meantime, she gets to run her own company. That's the ticket right there."
"Florence is wealthy," Eula said. "She's always had household help. But keep in mind that even though she has a housekeeper, Florence can sew her own clothes and make quilts and knit, and now she knows how to bake, too."
"I can do all those things," Maisie said, turning to go back into the kitchen, "except sew my own clothes and knit."
"I'll teach you how to make clothes, and how to knit, too, if you'd like," Eula said, running her needle through the quilt's layers in a long basting stitch. "You can knit the baby some booties."
Maisie's head popped back into the doorframe.
"Could you teach me how to make mittens?"
"For the baby?"
"No, for me to sell," Maisie said, as though that were the obvious conclusion to draw. "I'm going to start my own business, just like Miss Florence."
"You already have an egg business, and now you want to start a mitten business?" Eula smiled at the girl. "Shouldn't you finish fifth grade before you take on any more enterprises?"
Maisie shrugged. "I can knit and go to school at the same time. Once I learn to knit, that is."
"First things first," Eula said. "Finish the dishes, and then you need to iron your dress. We have to be at the church at 3 o'clock for the last-minute preparations."
"Do you think it's bad luck that they couldn't have the wedding on New Year's Day like they planned?" Maisie asked. "I mean, the first wedding got canceled because Mr. Arthur didn't show up, and the second one got canceled because of a blizzard. And you know what they say, bad things come in threes."
"That's nothing but superstitious nonsense," Eula insisted. "Besides, you know what else they say?"
"Third time's the charm," Dan offered as he huffed down the attic stairs into the dining room. "I sure hope so, because if there's one thing I hate, it's putting on a tie for a wedding. Or putting on a tie for any reason, for that matter."
"I don't even understand ties," Maisie said. "What's a tie do, anyway? It doesn't hold your shirt up. It doesn't keep your collar on. It's just decoration."
"Well, you sound like a little decoration is a terrible thing," Eula said as she made another stitch. "What's so wrong with it?" I don't see a reason for decorating your neck is all.
Can't say I disagree, Dan said, but it's the style and I like to be stylish for your Aunt Eula.
Aunt Eula don't care about stylishness, do you, Aunt Eula? Maisie asked.
Aunt Eula doesn't care about stylishness, Eula corrected, and I don't know if that's true. I don't care much about the latest fashions, but I do like pretty dresses and a nicely tailored suit on a handsome man. She turned to Dan. So how does everything look up there?
Dan brushed some dust off of his sleeve before replying.
The crib looks good. It might could use some new paint. The cradle has some cracked spindles that'll need replacing.
Can I help? Maisie asked. She turned to Eula.
Carpentry skills are good to know, too.
That they are, Eula agreed. But how many skills can you learn at the same time?
7 or 8, I reckon. Maisie shrugged. Maybe more.
Dan sat down across the table from Eula. I was thinking maybe I should repaint all of the nursery furniture, the crib, the cradle, and the rocking chair.
And what color do you suppose?
Eula considered this for a moment.
I suppose we ought to ask Elise, though she did ask me to make a yellow quilt and curtains. But you don't want everything the same color, now do you?
I read once that like a flower garden, a room should hold a rainbow of colors, Dan opined.
For the life of me, I can't remember who imparted that bit of wisdom, but I have held to it firmly ever since.
You know good and well that's what I wrote in my article for Florence's spring catalog, Eula said with a laugh.
Which reminds me, I need to think of a good idea for the summer catalog.
That's the hardest part. Not the writing, but the coming up with a new subject to write about.
You'll think of something. You always do.
Maybe. Eula had been writing articles for the Quilting Company catalog for nearly a year now, and each time she was sure she didn't have anything left to say. Which was ridiculous. Hadn't she been making quilts since she was 6 years old? Hadn't she made every mistake in the book and then been taught by her betters how to do things the right way? Eula prided herself on her quilting skills, in part because each one was hard-earned, and in part because her skills were a tribute to the women who had taught her, her great-grandmother Anne, her grandmother, and her mother, along with all the women who'd gathered around her mother's quilting frame back in Homerville. Still, you couldn't just plop some bit of advice on the page and call it an article. No, you needed a theme to build around. Eula had been proud of her garden idea, her botanical metaphor, as Emmeline had put it at their meeting last week. Good Lord, where did that woman come up with such things? Botanical metaphor. Well, that metaphor was a metaphor for Emmeline Grangerfield, Eula thought as she poked her needle into her apple pincushion and began folding up her yet-to-be-quilted quilt. Pretty, interesting, and vaguely ridiculous. They'd done more talking than quilting at last week's Bee, which wasn't the usual way of things. They typically did both in equal measure. But last week there were Christmas reports to be shared and Florence's rescheduled nuptials to be discussed. Florence, busy at work at the quilting company, wasn't there, which allowed them a little more latitude in their conversation than they might have taken otherwise. The fact was, more than one member present at the last Wednesday Bee felt that Florence and Arthur were moving too quickly to the altar, even with the most recent delay.
"What's the rush, after all?" Emmeline had asked as they stood around Eula's dining room table, drinking coffee and eating slices of chocolate pound cake. "6 months won't make much of a difference one way or another, and it will allow them to think more carefully about the quilting company. Thomas and I think they should make some sort of contract about it, laying out the terms of who does what and owns what, that sort of thing.
Is that a good way to start a marriage? Dorothy wondered as she stirred sugar into her coffee cup.
After all, marriage isn't about legalities. It's about the bond between a man and a woman.
A legal bond? Emmeline countered. My point is, Florence has worked awfully hard, frankly, we all have, to build her business from scratch, and I hate to think that she has to hand over the reins to Arthur when he becomes her husband.
But Arthur was part of the business from the very beginning, Bess pointed out. He rented building number 5 to Florence for $1, remember? He's been advising her from the start. I can't imagine that he tried to wrest the company away from her once they're married. Can you?
Who knows? Emmeline said with a shrug. My question is Arthur Purefoy entirely trustworthy?
The conversation was edging perilously close to gossip, in Eula's opinion.
Would we be having this discussion if Florence were here? She asked as she began circling the group with a coffee pot.
Is it really our business, after all, what she and Arthur decide?
I think it is, Emmeline argued. Dorothy's nieces work for Florence, and all of us contribute to the quilting company in one way or another, by designing patterns or writing for the catalog. We're all invested in it. But I'll take my question about Arthur's trustworthiness off the table if it makes you feel better.
Eula nodded. It does. Thank you, Emmeline.
And I'll change the subject, Bess said, holding up the cake knife. Would it be terribly gluttonous of me to have one more tiny slice? I know I shouldn't. My skirts are a bit tight after all the Christmas feasting.
Oh, I hope you won't start one of those awful 18-day diets everybody's doing nowadays, Edwina said. My daughter tried it last fall, and she said it made her miserable.
What's an 18-day diet?
Elise asked, walking in from the kitchen where she'd been putting a fresh pot of coffee on.
Do you stop eating for 18 days?
More or less, Bess said as she sliced into the cake. You eat very small meals, each one accompanied by a grapefruit half. By the end of the day, you're starving and eat everything in the kitchen that's not nailed down. And the next day, you're out of sorts and all you do is talk and think about food, Dorothy added. It's crazy, is what it is. Besides, you're not the least bit heavy, Bess, and even if you were, I bet Father Mayfield wouldn't be bothered at all.
Maybe, Bess agreed amiably. He does like that actress who's on the plump side. Oh, what's her name? May something?
May West? Emmeline supplied, sounding a touch scandalized. Would a man of the cloth really find a woman like that attractive?
If he's a living, breathing male, then yes, Bess said, taking a bite of cake. I believe he would.
Eula laughed with the others. It was good to see Bess so happy. No one would discourage her from marrying Joe Mayfield. On the contrary, they were all hoping there'd be a wedding sooner rather than later. But then no one doubted that Joe was a good man who had Bess's best interest at heart.
Did the same hold true for Arthur Purefoy?
Eula hoped so, and she almost thought so, but she had to admit to a lingering doubt or two.
Maisie came out of the kitchen, wiping her hands on her denim trousers.
I wish I could wear pants to the wedding. Pants are more comfortable than dresses, for one thing. Plus, they're better for playing in.
Eula finished folding her basted quilt.
You're going to a wedding, not a carnival, Miss Maisie.
Besides, you look pretty in that dress.
Maisie scowled. What do I care about looking pretty?
You might care one day, so get ironing, girl.
That don't make sense,
Maisie muttered under her breath. Still, she headed toward her room to collect the dress.
Eula picked up her quilt and carried it to her sewing room. She'd do her best to banish her doubts about Arthur, she decided. The wedding was only a few hours away, after all. Whatever her opinions about Arthur, good or bad, there was no doubt in Eula's mind that Florence Grangerfield loved the man. And for now, that was enough. The rest of it would just have to take its course. Thanks for joining us on the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast. We're reading Friendship Album 1934, a novel by Frances O'Rourke Dow, a production of Milton Falls Media, Incorporated. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved. Until next time, this is Frances O'Rourke Dow. Thank you for joining us.